The reading's taken from Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 to 10. The resurrection. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he is risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid, yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me."
The second reading is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We're beginning at verse 12. The resurrection of the dead. "But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God. For we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. But he did not raise him. In fact, the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead also comes through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. But each in his own turn. Christ, the first fruits, then, when he comes, those who belong to him. Then the end will come when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father, after he has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death." We continue at verse 54. "When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true: death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labour in the Lord is not in vain. Thanks be to God."
Those of you that know me well will not be surprised that I'm starting an Easter message having got off on a bad foot with afraid, we get go worse now. And this is a quiz on who is this? And who do you think this is? Okay? Now, I know Howard knows. If Brian Ladd were here, he'd know. Anyone else know who this is? Okay? Anyone else know who this is? Oh, dear, oh, dear, oh, dear. I tell you, this church, I might as well give up now, I think. You know. Oh, yes, yes. Oh, David. Oh, sorry. Ian. Yes, thank you. It's Gerard Deulofeu. Okay. Now, Gerard Deulofeu. Now, a few weeks ago, a number of us, quite a lot from this church, actually, of course, Ash was also there in the sound room. We were at Wembley, and we were watching the Cup semi-final, and Watford were losing 2-0, okay, and the manager brought on Gerard Deulofeu, one of the more erratic members of our squad, to put it mildly. And Gerard Deulofeu came on, and basically we ended up winning 3-2, and he got 2 goals. It was quite amazing. It was absolutely spectacular. And of course, now we're going to the cup final as a result. So that's great. We'll need some more magic from Deulofeu, I think, to beat Manchester City. But that's a different story. We're going to the cup final. It was brilliant. At 2-0 down with 15 minutes to go, we thought we were out of the cup. Okay? But Deulofeu came on and we won. Okay? Who is this? Okay, any idea who this is? He's not a footballer. There's a clue there. Not a footballer. Or a football manager. Any ideas? Someone must know this man. Okay, I'll tell you, his first name is Tim. Yes, Tim Berners-Lee. Tim Berners-Lee. Now, this man, Tim Berners-Lee, he invented the World Wide Web. He invented the World Wide Web around about 1980, 1991. He got the idea going, but then he had to devise a web browser and things like that and so on. And then he gave the World Wide Web to the world for free. He probably has made some small amounts of money on it, but he's not like held onto it as his proprietary. And so, of course, we now all use access to all sorts of aspects of the internet because we can get access to information from all over the world. Okay? All right, this one is one person here, two people here I hope know. What is this? Anyone be able to? Penicillin, thank you. It is penicillin. It is penicillin, okay? And around about, I know it was about the 1920s when Fleming discovered his mould, but it was really towards the end of the Second World War that the full appreciation of what this could do to help overcome injuries and infection was appreciated. And of course, we've been benefiting for the most of us all our lives with access to antibiotic to take on infections and so on. Okay, so what have Gerard Deulofeu, Tim Berners-Lee, and penicillin got in common? I wonder if you can think about that for a moment. Brilliant. Thank you. He's read my notes. That's exactly the word. Game changers. Game changers. Because each one of those fundamentally changed the way that things were in their different situations. Okay? A game changer, here's a definition for you. A game changer is a newly introduced element or factor that changes an existing situation or activity in a significant way. Or, in sports, a sudden action, usually the result of a successful plan, that's what our Watford manager would tell us anyway, that changes the entire course of a game or match. Or this one, a person or thing that significantly affects the outcome of something. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is a complete game changer. We've had history and people have died, and then a man rises from the dead. People have lived in fear of death, and then death is defeated, overcome by someone who is raised from the dead. And Jesus risen from the dead changes the outcome of life for all of us. A complete game changer. When we had that second reading, Paul, who had his life completely turned around from being anti-Christian and persecuting them to preaching the good news of Jesus Christ, Paul writes about the nature of this game-changing activity. And he starts by saying this: hang on a minute, you Christians. What if it didn't happen? What if Jesus didn't rise from the dead? Our preaching is useless. There's a good joke there, but we'll pass on quickly. Our preaching is useless. We're wasting our time going out there telling people about Jesus if Jesus didn't rise from the dead. In fact, worse than that, we are telling lies about God and about what he has done. Because we say God raised him from the dead. If it didn't happen, we're lying. Christ himself is dead if there is no resurrection. If Jesus did not rise from the dead. Our faith is futile, is useless. We're still in the same state that we were in before we rejoiced in the gospel that we are now preaching. We're lost in our sins. And indeed, we are pitiful and deluded. We absolutely are, aren't we? If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, what a bunch of wallies you guys are. Sitting there today. What an idiot I am working in the job I work in. Do you get it? It's fundamental. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, the whole message of the good news of King Jesus, the whole message about God's amazing rescue plan for mankind falls away. It's based on a lie. It's based on something that just didn't make any great sense if Jesus did not rise from the dead. But as it really did happen, then there are all sorts of implications that he brought out in the reading the other way as well. First of all, Jesus is alive and alive forevermore. He came as a man, he died on the cross, God raised him from the dead, and he is alive. Jesus is alive forevermore. That's why when we're frightened, we can call upon his name because he is there. It tells us in the passage we read that everything that opposes God will be defeated, including death itself. Everything that opposes God will be defeated, including death itself. It tells us that the contagion of sin has been dealt with. The contagion of sin. What I mean by that is that, yes, we know we do things that are wrong ourselves, but also all the implications and impact of sin in our world, all the damage done to our world, done to relationships, to communities, to our planet, to ourselves as individuals, all the bad stuff has been dealt with. And we can have full access into God's family. We can now be actually calling ourselves. How ridiculous this would be if Jesus had not risen from the dead. We can call ourselves children of God because we too can have eternal life. Eternal life that starts now and goes through after our physical death. I think I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, I went to my uncle's funeral. And a number of people I've told have said to me since then, oh, I'm very sorry. But actually, it was a celebration. Not because we were happy to see him gone, but he'd been ill for quite some time. He was in his 80s, and he absolutely knew where he was going. He knew that he trusted Jesus Christ and had eternal life. So he was looking forward to the very much better that lay ahead for him. And this is really fundamental. There is no need to fear death. I think a number of you have met my neighbor who's come to some of our Costa Open discussions. And I remember having this conversation with him, and this was fundamental to him, that although he denies there's anything beyond death, he is absolutely frightened of what might happen at that time. He said no one could ever be happy at a funeral. And I understand what he means. But of course, without knowing Jesus is alive, without the resurrection, then no wonder he is afraid. And we share in the victory of Jesus. So remarkably, we are actually given that sharing in the game-changing victory that he has brought about by his death on the cross and by his resurrection from the dead. So if it's not true that Jesus rose from the dead, we're wasting our time. And if it is true, and I believe it is, then it's the ultimate game changer. The world is completely different. The world will never be the same again. Because God has intervened in this way that changes the outcome for us all. And so there's an offer from God to anyone on Easter Day. And the good news is it's any other day of the year as well. And it comes in Romans 10 and 9, and it says this, that if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you will be saved. You will be saved. Please don't ignore the evidence. It's really important to have that conversation. Did it happen or did it not happen? If it didn't happen, then humor us, okay? Smile at us. We're to be pitied. But if it did happen, it's a complete game changer. There are a number of very helpful books, courses, whatever. If any of you here think, yes, I would like to investigate that evidence some more. How can I know whether Jesus did or didn't rise from the dead? Please come and talk to me afterwards. There's a range of different things depending on where you're coming from on your questions that might help. But I would say to you all, don't ignore the game-changing impact of Jesus coming alive. I'm going to have a moment's silence. Then I'm going to read something and ask you just to respond to it. I will say, thine be the glory, and you respond, risen conquering Son. Just close your eyes perhaps and listen to this these words. There was a stone that had been rolled away. Risen Jesus, the stone over your tomb was no match for the resurrection. It had to succumb to the power of a new creation breaking out of a grave. Most of us have tombs across which a stone lies heavy and unmoved. Tombs in which lie our fears and resentments, our buried sins and unsafe desires, our unhealed memories and unforgiven insults. We remember now our own sealed tombs. Roll away the stones from these tombs, we pray. Give us new strength and resolve and release into a new day of freedom and joy. Thine be the glory, risen, conquering Son. There were cloths that had wrapped Jesus' body. The body had gone. Those strips of cloth were lying empty and flat, no longer enclosing that beloved body that the women had come to anoint. Risen Jesus, we often wrap up our lives in the safety of different cloths that mark our insecurity. Cloths of status, qualifications, a healthy bank balance, a full diary. But these cloths are like bandages covering our wounds. Help us gently to unwind our defenses and to stand before you and the world covered in the only thing that matters, the love and compassion of God our Father. May our identity rest only in you. Thine be the glory, risen, conquering Son. There was a gardener at dawn. Mary thought you were the gardener, and she was right. You are the gardener of the new world that the resurrection has brought into being. This is the eighth day of creation. Help us as we help others to live in that new reality, confident that now new things are always possible, and in the meantime, we need not be afraid. May that conviction sink deep into our souls and be a source of endless hope. Thine be the glory, risen, conquering Son. There were wounds in Jesus' hands and side. Thomas needed hard evidence, and there it was. Resurrection doesn't involve the magical removal of past wounds and the wiping out of our history, but something more. The transformation of that history into something beautiful. Risen Jesus, take our hidden history with all its joy, pain, and failure, and make it radiant, evidence of what resurrection can do today. And what we pray for ourselves, we pray too for those who we love. Thine be the glory, risen, conquering Son. There was a simple meal at Emmaus. A moment before, he had been there sharing this simple meal. And now he disappeared, and reality had lurched sideways. This ordinary meal had revealed something extraordinary. Risen Jesus, be with us at our table when we entertain our friends and family. Reveal to us the joy of shared stories and deepening relationships. The result of your presence in the simple fellowship of tables. And may our homes be as open as that home at Emmaus, so that we may be able to entertain you in our midst. Thine be the glory, risen, conquering Son. Risen Jesus, through that stone, those cloths, that garden, those wounds, that meal, you made real your resurrection. Make real your resurrection in us, and may we live that resurrection now and always. Amen.